I hold in my hands a beautiful new book entitled The Purloining of Prince Oleomargarine by Mark Twain and Philip Stead, with illustrations by Aaron Stead. And joining us, one of the creators of this book, not Mark Twain, but the next best thing, Caldecott Award winner Philip Stead joining us. Philip, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
This is such a terrific book, and I have to ask, if anyone had said to you a few years ago, you'll get to collaborate with Mark Twain, what would your reaction have been?
I would not have believed them. It was, without question, the strangest phone call I've gotten as a professional bookmaker, was the call that we got that asked us if we'd be willing to take on this project. So, but here we are today. The book exists, and I've pinched myself, and it's real.
Was that a difficult decision to make when given that opportunity?
Aaron and I looked at each other, and we don't want to be afraid of any challenge, but at the same time, it sort of begs the question, is anybody qualified to write alongside Mark Twain? And so once we figured that really nobody was, we figured we might as well give it a shot, because everybody else would have just as much trouble as we would. So we spent really the next 3 years of our life trying to figure out how to get to know Mark Twain, not just as an American icon the way most people know him, but as a studio collaborator, really.
Well, so anybody who's a fan of Twain and knows the story and knows how much he loved to share stories, and particularly with his young daughters, and this particular tale is one that he told in 1879 in a hotel in Paris, and it's a fascinating story of a young boy who eats a flower, which gives him, to say the least, some unusual abilities.
He's given the ability to speak to animals, which is one of the reasons that we were drawn to the project once we were given the chance to see Twain's notes. We've worked in children's literature for our entire career, and animals obviously feature big in children's literature, and especially in our work. And we just thought that was a fantastic opportunity to sort of expose people to a different side of Mark Twain, even. You know, we know Twain as being witty and funny and cutting and sometimes very political, but we very rarely, I think, get a window into the sweeter side of Mark Twain, the side that he would exhibit maybe at home when he would let his guard down and he could stop being Mark Twain for the night and just be Samuel Clemens or just be Dad or Papa. And so these ideas that came up, when he was telling stories to his own children, I think were very different than the kinds of things that you might see in, say, Huckleberry Finn or Innocents Abroad or any of his other very well-known books.
And yet within that, the Twain wit, the Twain humor is there. And like, I think some of the best works of children's literature or children's entertainment, there are things there that appeal on both levels that certainly youngsters will enjoy, but also something that the parents can appreciate as well.
Yeah, I think that many of the greatest children's books ever, their first audience is for children. In the case of this book, the first audience is really 8 to 12-year-olds. But that doesn't mean that the audience has to stop there. I think that the best children's books just have just as much to say about what it means to be human as any other book.
Did you find it at all intimidating to take on a project like this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was, without question, like I said, the weirdest phone call we've ever gotten. And I knew right away that if I didn't set pen to paper in some way quickly, that the project would become very intimidating. So what I ended up doing actually was a good friend of mine owns a cabin on an island in the middle of Lake Michigan. It doesn't have any phone. It doesn't have any internet. There's really no connection to the outside world at all. And I just went there and I stayed there until I had a first draft and came home and was able to show Aaron that I had, done something while I was away. Some things you just have to get right on top of before they get too big.
Well, Aaron's art is so incredible. The illustrations bring the story so much to life, and that collaboration had to be even more meaningful for the chance to work with her on this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Aaron and I have known each other since we were kids, and we've always talked about making books together, working together, even when we were teenagers. This is what we wanted to do. This book, is just something extra special, though, because it's rare that a children's book will just get this kind of attention and allow you to really, use all of your creative self. In the case of this book, when you're collaborating with Mark Twain, you really can try so many things. You can push your own boundaries. And I think we really tried to do that.
Well, and one of the things that I'm sure was a challenge was to be able to not only find Mark Twain's voice, but incorporate it as part of your own. And to do that, you've said in other interviews that you felt that along the way you really channeled Twain.
Yeah, well, we kind of had to. We had, you know, like I said, the Mark Twain's an American icon. We all know who he is. We all have an idea of what he is and what he means. But we had to get to know him as a real person if we were going to be able to work with him. What we were left with were notes for a children's story. It was not finished prose, and we had to find some way to figure out what is the exact way that Mark Twain would have told this story, while also paying attention to the ways in which we would tell a story. Because the two things that were not always exactly the same. Our sensibilities and Twain's sensibilities often were similar, but sometimes diverged. So trying to find that balance was really tricky, but it definitely involved a lot of reading. You know, Mark Twain, lucky for me, left a lot of material behind for research. The most important was actually his autobiography, which he had stipulated he didn't want published until 100 years after his death, which was only, you know, in the last 10 years. What was so great about that autobiography for me is that it was his speaking voice instead of his written voice. It was something that he had dictated and somebody else had written down for him. And that allowed me to really get inside the language of Mark Twain, which was so important, I think, for this story, because it began as a story told out loud to his own daughters. It's something he did spontaneously and impromptu, and which makes it a little bit different than what you might read in one of his other finished books.
And there's, of course, a bittersweet side to this, too, in that one of his daughters, I think it was Susie, only lived to be, I think, about 13 or 14 years old.
Yeah, he experienced a lot of tragedy with his family. Susie died young. He had another daughter that died young. He had a young son that died. Only one of his children really survived late into adulthood. And so, yeah, this, I think there is something bittersweet about this book. It kind of encapsulates a moment in time in the Twain house when things were very happy, and things, I think, probably felt very stable for Mark Twain.
And also, too, at that time, I think, is when he was living in Connecticut, and I recall from not only reading, but from the great Ken Burns series on Mark Twain, that he often looked at those years in Connecticut with the kids as the happiest of his life.
Oh, absolutely. And I should actually give a shout-out to the Ken Burns documentary, which was also very helpful to us, and it really sparked an interest in us to go to that house in Connecticut to see what Twain's home life really looked like and what it felt like, which was a very valuable experience for both of us to really see, even though it's a museum now, and you expect to walk into it and expect it to maybe feel stuffy or old-fashioned, but when you walk into it, it really does feel like a home, and you really can imagine the Clemens girls you know, rushing into his writing studio at the end of the day and asking to hear a story.
Well, it's a wonderful book. I can't wait to read it to my little boy. The illustrations are fabulous, and it is very much in keeping with the Mark Twain tradition. Congratulations on a terrific work here. The Purloining of Prince Oleomargarine by Mark Twain, illustrations by Aaron Stead, and the book also by our guest, Philip Stead. Thank you so much for joining us, Philip. We wish you a much continued success.
Thank you so much. This was an honor.